listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. Hosted by high-stakes headhunter, author, and professional speaker, Scott Love.
This is the Rainmaking Podcast, and my name is Scott Love, your host. Thanks for joining me. Our topic for today is shifting out of burnout. Now, if you're familiar with this podcast, most of our work, we talk about getting business from clients, building richer and more meaningful client relationships. But you know, all of you that are listening, you're high performers. And I know that at some point you've gone through burnout. And our topic today, we're talking about shifting out of burnout with Emily Scholes, who is a very close friend of mine. She and I actually worked together years ago. She's a former lawyer, an entrepreneur who has turned into an executive coach, and she's very successful at this. And she's going to talk more about her practice. And make sure that you check out the show notes where you can connect with her on LinkedIn and also visit her website. And our topic today, we're talking about how do you identify areas of burnout and how do you take care of yourself? How do you move into a place of healing and of health, which is what you need to perform at an optimal level as a high-stakes rainmaker? One other announcement that I wanted to make is that as of today, this year, we have our very first sponsor, Leopard Solutions. Leopard Solutions is a data provider for the legal industry. So this show and all of those this year are sponsored by Leopard Solutions Legal Intelligence suite of products, Firmscape, and Leopard Business Intelligence. Push ahead of the pack with the power of Leopard. Make sure you visit the show notes to get a special demo. Then you can find that directly on the show notes and click on the link. And now, without further ado, here's my good friend talking about avoiding burnout, Emily Scholes. Hey, this is Scott Love. Thanks for joining me on the Rainmaking Podcast. Today, we have a special guest, an old friend of mine and a former colleague, Emily Scholes, talking about shifting out of burnout. Emily, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Scott.
Well, you know that people in legal, because you did practice law at a pretty sophisticated firm, you know that burnout is something that's on everybody's minds. And let's kind of get some working definitions. I would like always like to start with that. How would you define burnout? What exactly does that mean?
Oh, burnout. I think it's really a feeling of just your tank is empty. You know, you might love what you're doing, but you just don't have anything left to give to it. So definitely for me, the signs, number one is my creativity lowers. So those creative ideas that come when you're really well rested and you maybe you've taken a vacation or you're in the shower, those aren't coming. And that feeling of like just slogging through the day, just trying to get to your next day off or your next vacation. Maybe some anxiety, definitely, you know, interpersonal relationships might take a hit if you're kind of quick to react to things. So really just a feeling of exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then are you telling me then that there are certain indications that we should pay attention to that tell us that burnout is going to ensue after that? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I mean, I think most people, unfortunately, today, especially in the legal profession, I mean, it's just a constant state of being. So it's almost hard to know what it feels like to not be in burnout. So that's usually my first recommendation for people is to, you know, if you have any vacation time saved up, use it. That's what it's there for, and get back to a feeling where you feel more like yourself. And then it's easier to see the signs of burnout come in once they start returning. You know, if you snap at a colleague or your kid or your spouse, and that's not like you, that can be a sign of burnout. If you start making some mistakes that normally you would never worry about, you'd always catch those. That can be a sign of burnout. And really just a feeling like you're not loving what you're doing anymore.
Right,
that's
right.
The biggest one. Because I mean, we should all have some level of joy and satisfaction and fulfillment in our work.
So this is really interesting. And I think that's great what you said. So kind of looking at, let's call it a checklist. If you have any of these symptoms, getting burnout, getting short with others, kind of losing your patience, making a lot of mistakes within the work that you do, losing your creativity. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
Not loving what you're doing. Any other indications that people should pay attention to see that burnout is going to be hitting them pretty soon?
Sure. I think fantasizing about leaving what you're doing. That might be, if you're thinking, wow, I just can't do this anymore, I really need to leave, it might be a sign that you're ready to leave.
Right.
It also might just be a sign of burnout. that you just are tired, you need a break. And when you are rested and really are focusing on taking care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, then you're fine where you are. Right. So it's something where you have to examine internally, like, is this really, like, do I really want to leave, or am I just exhausted? Because let's face it, we take ourselves with us. So if you are not happy where you are and you jump ship to somewhere else, odds are you're not going to be happy there either, unless you really examine your lifestyle, your thoughts, your self-care practices, things like that before you jump ship.
That's a good point, where you can have that feeling, but that doesn't really solve the problem. I think that's a good point.
So a lot of times we want to jump into action because it's easier, it's satisfying, as opposed to reflection, which for a lot of us is more difficult, sitting still, being with ourselves, you know, meditating, things like that. It's easier just to be like, oh, let me get on, you know, whatever job board I'm looking, or call the recruiter, or, but again, it might be that it is time for you to do that, but you should always make that decision from an empowered place of, I know I want to leave.
That's
as opposed
point.
To, I'm really tired.
So this is really good. So when somebody starts to see that these are the indications they have, instead of taking action, they should spend more time in reflection. How should they do that? What are some steps you'd recommend for people to take in order to reflect more on this? What do you think they should do?
Sure. I mean, my number one for everyone on the planet is meditation. And I know people throw that out all the time nowadays, but it is scientifically proven to reduce stress, to increase your health, to increase your creativity. I mean, I could go on and on about the health benefits that are proven in double-blind placebo-based studies. I mean, like, very scientific. And you don't have to necessarily do, you know, 2 hours a day. This isn't, you know, we're not training to be monks, but to do 15 minutes a day, I usually recommend first thing in the morning, because your mind hasn't started going yet. You've been asleep for a while, you've turned the thoughts off. And so it's easier just to sit at that point and really just be still. Your goal in meditation isn't to shut off your thoughts. People say that all the time. Oh, I can't meditate, I can't stop my thoughts. You're not supposed to stop your thoughts. Stopping your thoughts is like akin to saying, I'm going to meditate for 15 minutes. Heart, don't beat. Like, our mind thinks that's what it does. But what you're doing is you're training yourself to not go down the rabbit hole. You're starting to see your thoughts as clouds that they'll just pass by. And so you're not attaching to anything. And as you do that, and as you practice that, not only do you get wonderful health benefits, but in your day-to-day life, it's easier to let things go that normally you would go down the rabbit hole on and waste hours, days, weeks, years, you know, arguing in your head with someone and all of those things that we do when we're stressed. Now suddenly the edge is off and you're like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. Let me let that one go. That's, for me, number one, meditation. Absolutely.
So you think meditation.
Meditation instead of medication.
Right. And that was actually my word autocorrect on my notes I was typing. It was medication. I had to change it from a C to a T. So I appreciate you making that clarification. So you're saying then with meditation, we can actually remove some of that stress. We won't be jolted into some of those emotions that we were having before. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It basically just reduces your stress bucket, as I like to call it. So if you've got a bucket and you pour in like work and family obligations and all of these different things, your bucket fills up. And once the bucket fills up, it doesn't really matter what triggers you. Like, the next thing is going to trigger you. So meditation just kind of brings that level down. So maybe if you started the day, you know, at a 2 stress level, and normally by the end of the day, you'd be at a 9.
Right.
And, you know, yelling at someone or whatever. If you meditate, now suddenly you end the day at a 5 instead. And over years, you just stay at a 3. You know, like, things hit you, but you react to them in a different way. And it's not as jarring to your nervous system, because we unfortunately live in a society where we're just kind of in chronic fight or flight all the time. We weren't designed to be. It was literally designed, our nervous systems were designed like, oh, see a tiger, it's going to chase me, I'm going to run away. You do fight or flight, and then you chill like the gazelle. Like, you know, 10 minutes later, they're fine. But we are just like constantly in fight or flight. And that really dysregulates our nervous system. And then suddenly you can't sleep. Suddenly, you know, your digestion isn't working very well. Suddenly you've got pain where you didn't have it before. And those are all signs that your body is just under constant fight or flight. And you need to somehow turn the dial down. And if you're in a really high powered, high stress career, you really have to do that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I've had other people on the show that are coaches that do work similar to you that talk about that. And I think that's just a really good idea. That's something I've started doing as well. And I see it makes a huge difference how you fight the day and how you seize the day. You got to have that energy. I like the fact that you talk about the stress bucket. I like the fact that it's a kinesthetic description. I know what that means. I know what that is. I can understand that. So what would we do to meditate better? What are some tips that you would give us to help us to be able to do that?
Oh yeah. Meditation is great because you know what? It's free. You really don't need anything.
Right.
I mean, I think a lot of people have this vision of, you know, they have to sit in lotus position on the floor and like, you know, all these things. And like, no, you can literally sit in a chair with your feet on the floor, your hands in your lap, 15 minutes. There are so many free timers, music, all apps that you can put on. Really just some kind of white noise is wonderful, whether it's an air conditioner or, you know, a fan or something, because that gives your mind something to latch onto.
I see.
So you can go back. So if you find yourself going down a rabbit hole of thought, you can just be like, nope, going back to the fan. Nope, going back.
Interesting.
Or you can also have a mantra. So just like one word. I always use the word swaha in Sanskrit. It means surrender. And so I like non-English words because, you know, it just takes me out of my mind.
Yeah, I get that. It's great.
And I just go back to that mantra. And literally, it's called the practice of meditation. The idea is not to be perfect. The idea is not to get it right. The idea is to practice it. So you just do it every day. And some days, you're going to have a great meditation where you really kind of feel your thoughts and your body downshift, where you really feel that dropping into relaxation, and maybe you get a creative idea out of it, or maybe you just feel really peaceful. And some days, you know what? You are going to sit there for 15 minutes and 14 minutes and 50 seconds of it. You are going to be battling your thoughts.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's just taking the pressure off of, oh, I can't meditate. Everyone can meditate. They teach kindergartners how to meditate. And really in today's day and age with all of the information and all of the scientific based proof of the benefits, it's 15 minutes. I think the Dalai Lama once said, like, if someone said, oh, I don't have time to meditate for an hour a day, said, then you should meditate for two.
That's great. I love it. I love that you said they teach kindergartners how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
I live in California?
Do you think people should they set goals with this? Can you see some of the people listening saying, "I'm going to be number one in the world when it comes to meditation. I'm going to be an overachiever when it comes to my meditative practices. I'm going to write books on it. I'm going to start doing seminars. I'm going to create my online training platform." And
of course, you know,
but they should just detach from that and just exercise.
Especially in the beginning, the practice.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning when you're just doing it to relax yourself, to calm yourself. I mean, who knows what it turns into, but I completely relate to what you say. I think nowadays, especially, it's like any hobby or thing that we enjoy doing, it's like immediately, it's like, how do I monetize this?
Yeah, that's like, right. I know.
Really, you don't have to. You can just do something for the pure enjoyment.
Absolutely.
And actually, just doing something for the pure enjoyment is helpful. I mean, that's one of the other things that I recommend to clients is like, find a hobby and suck at it. Like, you know, like do something just because you enjoy it and it feels good, because that brings back that creativity, that spark, that play. You know, kindergartners, we really should be learning from them. Like step into like their joy, their beginner mind, their sense of play. We miss that as adults. It's like once you hit a certain age, we're not allowed to play anymore. And that's really, really important for your creativity, which in turn benefits whatever you're doing in the world career-wise.
So what recommendations would you give to somebody that says, I want to grow in my recreation, in my play? And I like what you said about meditation. I think that's good. That could be like one key concept, one key yes. takeaway. The other one is recreation or hobby. Tell me about that.
Oh, I mean, a perfect example was me during the quarantine. I was, you know, living by myself, you know, not seeing anyone in person. I was lonely. I was bored. And I just thought to myself, my God, I need something to do that's not looking at a screen, that's yeah. not on either my phone or my computer. And even I read, I'm a voracious reader, but even that, I was like, I just need something not mental. And I ended up buying a whole bunch of these like paint by number kits.
That's great.
It was amazing because I am a recovering perfectionist. And so I wanted to know that something I was going to devote hours to was going to look good at the end of it. And I'm not a visual artist. So, but I would turn on classical music and sit at the table and paint for a half hour. And just that, I mean, some days I would go longer, but just a half hour of taking that, it invigorated me in a way that, you know, taking a break and just scrolling on my phone was not going to do for me. It was right. a break for my mind. Because that's when people talk about getting in the flow state and, you know, mm-hmm. really tapping into that creative mind, you have to shut off your thinking mind to do that.
Right.
You really do. You can't think your way into the flow state. And so these practices, a lot of us would look at them maybe on their face and say, oh, that's a waste of time. But no, it is those minutes, those hours that you spend creates such leverage down the road, because now you get this like amazing idea that saves you tons of hours of work that you would have been slogging through if you said, no, I don't have time, you know, to do that. So anything that you, I mean, look back in your childhood, what did you like doing? What did you enjoy? What did, could you not wait to go out and play? See if there's something along those lines that maybe you can incorporate into your adult life.
You're absolutely right, Emily. And to your point, I don't know if you knew this, but I'm a watercolor artist. I think when we worked together, I was starting to get into that. I got into it big time about 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And so I painted, and people will ask to buy my art. And if you go to Instagram, my handle is Watercolor Addict. And I found when people would reach out to me for commissions, I would just get bitter. I would get so bitter because I'm not painting for them. No. I'm not painting for, you know, it's what I call my martini money. I mean, it's not that much. But what I found more joy was that I would give it to my clients and candidates. And it's nice to walk into a client's office and see my art hanging on their walls. It's fantastic.
Yes.
But more importantly, what you said, I think you're absolutely right that when I would paint in the mornings, I would get more creative solutions to my problems at work during the day. And even Winston Churchill, to your point, talked about painting as a pastime, where he wrote a book in his book, Painting as a Pastime, that you just can't sit and say, I'm not going to think, because your mind is still going. You need yes. to think in a different direction on paint, on art, something that your mind is still functioning at a high level, but in a different area. And he found that that gave him healing in the work that he did. And I'm sure he had more stress than all of us did.
Absolutely. He also napped.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
He also napped. Right. That is another one to go back to your earlier question of what are some of my tips. Sleep. Sleep is like literally, oh my God, I don't think 90% of people get enough sleep.
Right.
And it really, I'm lucky enough. I work for myself. I work from home. I don't use an alarm clock anymore. It is one of the biggest joys of my yeah. life. And so I get sleep. I'm really, that is something that I am devoted to. Mm-hmm. On the days when I don't, for whatever reason, like maybe I've got an early flight or, you know, whatever. Oh my God, do I notice the difference in my mood, my attitude, my energy, my creativity. And that's just from one not good night sleep. So if you are never getting a good night's sleep, and I'm talking like at least 7 hours, but I usually tell my clients, especially those with chronic pain or invisible illness, I'm like, shoot for 9. You really, that in itself, again, it's free. It's yeah. literally just you getting more stringent and more disciplined with your schedule. But that will pay huge dividends. I'm all about like free, simple things.
Yeah, right, right. That's great. Well, like what you said so far, meditation, recreation or hobby, napping and sleep. What are some other core competencies, some other things we should focus on to take care of ourselves?
Oh, my number one is mindset. So we as adults, I think we receive 3,000 marketing messages a day, something like that. And what is that? The majority of marketing is like, you're not good enough. You need this car. You need to wear this makeup. You need, you know, and not only just marketing, my God, the news, like all of these things that we are constantly bombarded with of like the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And especially, my God, in the legal profession, because you're pretty much in constant battle. That's how it's set up. So to balance that out with listening and watching positive, life-affirming, good things is crucial. Like if you are in your car, if you're taking a walk, all of these things, you can have podcasts or recordings or different things that are empowering you, that are, you know, telling you that you have control of your thoughts and your reality. You can heal your body. You can, you know, create what you want in this life. To have that balance out the other, because the other is already out there and it is strong. So you really need to actually proactively seek out good things. I always tell people I am a huge proponent of, if people do watch television, really being conscious of what they're selecting.
Absolutely.
I preach the gospel of Schitt's Creek and Ted Lasso. Those are my two, because they're funny. They are uplifting. They're not like hitting you over the head with corniness, but they're just good. They show the goodness in people and the ability of people to become even better people, the transformation that is possible as human beings when we really tap into our own power and divinity.
That's fantastic, Emily. So tell us then, if we could kind of bring this to a conclusion, three action steps that people can take to get started integrating some of these ideas that you've shared with us today. And these are fantastic ideas that you've shared.
Yes. I mean, number one is meditate. Really, it is once you actually start and you feel the benefits, it becomes non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it's like anything else. It's like kind of a slog to get through it. But once you do, it's like, I would not miss a meditation for anything, because I know how my day is going to go if I don't. And there are so many resources out there nowadays to help you along with that. The second thing I would say probably is to really examine what lights you up inside and your schedule and try and reconcile those two. Mm. When I work with clients, the very first thing I have them do is a very detailed life audit. And I have them create a no list where they are literally taking things off of their schedule that no longer light them up, that are just feel like obligations. They're doing them. And they're like, why am I doing this? This is taking out a whole bunch of time and I really don't have to do this, because then you're creating space for healthier habits, meditation, hobbies, you know, or just being able to sit and breathe. And then the third thing I would say is, you know, especially if you are really in overwhelm and you are just up to your limit and you're the thought of making any of these changes is like, no, I can't.
Right.
Get some help. Like hire a coach, do an online program, you know, something that can give you that support, because these changes absolutely can transform your life and turn you into a much happier, healthier, more productive person. But they're habits and you need to learn them and you need to practice them and you need to have that support.
Well, Emily, these are fantastic ideas, and this is truly helpful for me and hopefully, and I know it will be for all of our listeners. Tell us about the services that you offer. How can you help the people listening today? And we'll certainly put all your contact information on the show notes.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I work with people one-on-one. I also have a group coaching program that is specifically designed for women with invisible illness. So any kind of like chronic pain, mental or physical, which, you know, a lot of people in the legal profession, just a lot of people in general have, where you quote unquote look normal, but you are really struggling. And that is just my passion. I really, really enjoy it. And talk about the support, because a lot of times people with invisible illness, even if they have very loving spouses or families or, you know, friends, if those people don't also have chronic pain, it's very hard for them to know what you're going through and empathize. So to have a group of people who, you know, get it and love you and are still seeing you in your highest light and pushing you and, you know, really wanting to see the best for you. That is amazing. And then I also, every 2 months, I do a free online retreat called Shift Yourself. So if you are new to any of the things that I've mentioned, you know, and are curious, you are always welcome to join. Those are really fun. But yeah, this is, I adore working with people and seeing them open up and blossom and just have more joy in their life, no matter what they're doing.
That's great, Emily. You're very good at that, I'm sure. This is great to connect with you today. You're a very special person. We've known each other for some time. We go way back.
Yes.
And thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your joy and your expertise with us today, Emily.
Thank you so much. It was a blast.
Thank you for listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. For more information about our recruiting services for international law firms, visit our website at attorneysearchgroup.com. To inquire about having Scott speak at your next convention, conference, sales meeting, or executive retreat, visit therainmakingpodcast.com.